All right. Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Rashawn Messianic Bible Club. I still want to be in college, huh? I'm going to have to continue on that. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody asking all the questions last night about music and this whole Kanye West thing. I am done with it. Like I said, I was getting ready for this Bible study today when the Lord expressed on me that he wanted to address that, okay? I am not here to make you be obedient to what I told you last night. You don't have to be. If I make you do what God tells you, then we're no longer a church, we're a cult. Right. So I just give you the information, and as a good pastor, I just wanted you to know you shouldn't be at your house listening to Kanye West's new album as he opens up portals in your home.
Okay.
And then you have a lot of problems that you wish you didn't have. You know, my mom said, don't play in the street. And, you know, we just took her at her word.
Right.
We didn't ask her why. She said, don't play in the street. And we didn't do it. She could have explained the cars and the other children that have been hit and all this stuff, but
right.
We just said, okay, we take your word for it. And so I'm hoping you take my word for it. If you don't, you know, have at it, go to the concert, do whatever you want, but I really want you to listen to, because I'm telling you guys, I was on a whole nother mission. I was on this mission of this Bible study when the Lord spoke to me and said, this is what I need you to tell them. That guy is not from me, okay? He's not my servant. Okay, so today's message is called Genesis 2, The Blessed Hope, The Rapture. And we're going to learn some things today. And I'm going to teach you a couple of things today because I really feel like we need to learn two things. And man, I wish I had 4 hours today, but I never have enough time. And I wish I did. Okay, here we go. This is the first thing I want to teach you. Okay, let's see. Let's look at this. You guys know what this is?
Yes, sir.
All right, this is a tallit. Okay. Now, when you read about this in the scriptures, in the book of Numbers, it's going to tell you that to make fringes on your garments, right? And they did. And then it says, and take a blue cord and tie it through the fringes, okay? And that's what they're supposed to do. So the original tallit is supposed to look like this, okay? You got 5 knots, and you got the separation of those knots with these cords that are in the middle, this blue cord that's in the middle. Now, the whole tallit equals out 613 laws, okay? Because the word tzitzit, or the fringes, is 600 in the Mishnah way of writing the word tzitzit, okay? So 600 is the tallit, tzitzit is 600. Then you got 5 knots, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you got 8 strings in here. So that 8 and that 3 equals the 13. So the tallit is supposed to represent, when I look at it, this represents the 613 laws, okay? Now, what they're going to do is say, as you're drawing this cord through your tallit, wrap it, wrap it 7 times here, then you wrap it around here 8 times, then you wrap it around here 11 times, and then you'll have between those three numbers the number 26, which is Yahweh, okay? Then the last cord you would rewrap 13 times, which is, will give you all of them, would be 39, which is the number of stripes that Jesus Christ took when he was on the cross. Now, the Jews won't say that. They'll just say it represents 39, which is, it could be, well, they don't understand why. Sometimes they do a lot of things they don't understand why. I don't, But that's what it is. It's the three, or is it 13, 13, 13, which is love, 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 or Corinthians 13, 13 definitions of love, also 13 chapter and 13 verses, okay? So this represents God's love. Also, 13 is the word ahad, which is the Lord your God is one. So so this whole garment is supposed to present the covering over man, that God stretched out above the earth, and in it is what? Yahweh and Yeshua paying the price for our sins, okay? Yeah. That is the tallit. If someone wants to wear one, it has everything to do with God. And remember, it was God that told them to do it, okay? So it's not just some religious garment. God told him to do it as a remembrance of God, not of the tallit. We don't look to the tallit. It's a remembering of God's laws that we keep them. Yeah. Okay? So, oh, I meant to tell you this. The blue, I have another tallit here, and the Jews took out the blue, which is disobedient, because they say the Messiah hasn't come yet. When he comes, he'll put the blue back in. But we know the Messiah has come, so I'm going to keep the blue in mind.
Shalom from Cape Town,
okay,
and from South Africa.
Shalom, my African brothers and sisters. You know my ancestors are from there. And one of these days, I'll visit. So, let's get started here. The Lord told me to explain that to you. Now, there's one other thing I need to explain to you, too, but I think I may have to wait a little bit. I'll wait on that. Okay. So we want to say our prayer and get started on this Bible study today, because we need to understand where we are in history, and then maybe I'll get to the time cycle so you'll see how God is counting time. They fear God because of who he is. You understand? They fear God because he's in the presence of us now. And the people, they know that God is in our presence because he's doing things in this generation of the righteous.
Amen.
Okay? So let's pray. I think I'll even wear my tallit when I pray today.
Amen.
So, someone said, don't wear your tallit, Pastor. Okay, here you go. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yikadeshim Cha. Tavo mechuteka yaserot sanaka. Be aret ke asher ne asa be shamaim. Tilano hayom lechum hukenu. Uselach lano et ashmetenu. Ke asher solechem anachnu. Le asher ashmelano. Vial tevienu le de masa. Ke im hatzilanu min hara. Kilacha hamamlecha vehagivra vehativ eret. Leolame leolamim. Amen. Beshim Yeshua HaMashiach, Anachnu Tefillim, Hakol Havarim, Bonalech. Let's get started.
CK wants to know, can you baptize yourself?
Never heard that one. And I think you're supposed to have a witness there. So I don't think that you can. I've never seen one. So I'm sure. You know, I don't know. I've never heard of that, someone baptizing themselves. Okay. In Genesis chapter 2, let's go there. Because I want you to understand your inheritance and where it started and where God got this wonderful plan to make you a part of his bride.
Man.
And to bring you into the kingdom. God is the one who had this plan, and he says, I am going to have a bride, okay? Lots of things go along with having a bride. I just want each and every one of you to know that, okay? If you decide to have a bride, now look at the way God has the world structured, okay? If a man wants to have a bride, he has to die to himself and become a servant to her. Remember that if you're going to get married, because when you ask a woman to marry her, you're really saying, can I be your servant, right? And they don't tell you that part. But see, Jesus is a husband, and he was a servant to the church. He washed our feet. He fed us. He died on the cross for us. He died for us. Everything Jesus did. So he's giving you an example of if you want to be a husband, this is what you have to do. You have to put you second, put your bride first, and do and die for her, right?
Yep.
So Christ decided he wanted to have a bride, and he knew if he's going to have a bride, what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to die to himself and put her first if he's going to have this bride, okay?
Amen.
Adam gets a bride, and Adam becomes a typology of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus knows that his bride is not going to be the most faithful, wonderful woman in the world. As a matter of fact, she can be quite disobedient at times, right? And you have to pull her back and talk to her, and you know, and you got to love her gently, but you know, sometimes she strays, right? And he's talking about the church, okay? So God knew that Adam was going to have a bride, but God wanted to give Adam a bride that represents the bride that he is going to have, okay? So in chapter 2, God says, let's see if I'm going to go, what verse that I'm going to read. This is, let's see, here and it says, Genesis chapter 2, and it says, it's not good that man should be alone, and I'm trying to look for that. Okay, the life in the garden. Okay, so Adam gave cattle. Okay, here it is. So let's start at verse 20. Okay,
verse 20.
Out of the ground the Lord formed. Okay, and it says, so Adam gave name to all of the cattle, all of the birds, all of the air, and every beast of the field. But Adam, there was not found a helper. You see that word? Leazor, a support. Okay? There was not found a helper compatible or comparable to him. Okay? Someone that was compatible and comparable to him. He did not have that. Okay? Now, it says, and God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he took his rib and closed up the flesh in its place, okay? Now he uses, when he segurs, he closes us up, he uses the letter Samech for the third time, but it's the first time in creating of a human being, and Samech is going to let us know that now this is finished. What's finished? I just made your bride and I closed it up. This is finished. Your bride has been prepared and made,
yeah.
Okay? Now, that Samech is 120 in gematria, okay? And so this 120 is representing this bride, okay? This bride is now going to show Adam, I'm going to be the same type of bride that the future Adam is going to have, okay? Because the future Adam is going to have a bride, and once he closes it up, now what does it say he closed it up? Now check this out. I love this because it says, and the Lord, and it says, and he closed up the flesh. And that was in verse 21. And he says, then the rib which the Lord had taken from Adam, he made a woman, and he brought her to the man. Okay? So now, remember, since everything is a typology, we are saying that God is going to make a bride, and then he's not going to say to the man, come and get your bride. He's going to say, let me bring the bride to you, okay? So then Adam said, now he says, this is now bone of my bone. This is now flesh of my flesh, okay? She shall be called woman because she was taken out of me. Okay? Now, Jesus, what comes out of his side when he's on the cross and he gets put to sleep is the blood and the water which produced the bride. We know this, right? That bride is not like Jesus in the earth. That bride gets the Spirit of God inside of her, but she has a problem. She's still mortal flesh. The bridegroom that we're going to marry is now immortal because he has resurrected out of this body into an immortal body that can never die again. Now, so when you get presented to him, you have to be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You have to be just like him. So once we receive our resurrected bodies, either from the grave or from walking around in the rapture, now when we come into the presence of Christ, we will be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, or we will be just like he is in a resurrected body. Here I am presenting your bride. She's just like you.
Yes.
Okay? And so this is the beginning of the 120, because the Semech represents the bride. And what does the bride do? Since it represents her, what does she do in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3 that really shows you a future of the 120, the Semech bride? The 120 says, once she sins, she brings judgment upon the whole world.
Yes.
Okay? She gets married, but once she sins, it brings judgment upon the whole world. So God, there's a thing called first mentioned in the Bible, okay? This is the first mention of the gematria of 120 causing worldwide judgment, okay? The second gematria of 120 causing worldwide judgment will be the flood. Because he'll say to Noah, there's going to be a flood, right? And this flood is going to be throughout the whole world. Why? Because the first 120, Eve brought judgment, entire world. Here we have Noah, your 120 is going to bring judgment to the entire world. Okay? Then, of course, we get all of the other 120s. And we get the Deuteronomy 1, which is Moses dying. And when Moses died, Joshua took over.
Yes.
Okay. And that was a new beginning, a change of the whole world, right? Because
right.
Now they're going to take the children over into the promised land, and something new is about to happen. But it happens at the end of Moses 120. Then, of course, Samson does his thing. And he says, okay, Samson pushed out the pillars, numerical value, 120, right? So the numerical value of the pillars that are pushed out. Now, only Samson could push those pillars out. No one else is strong enough to do it.
Right.
Samson is representing who? Jesus Christ. Can anyone else take the bride out of the earth, remove the pillar out of the earth, other than the second Samson? Okay? Or the second Adam, the second Moses? Okay? Other than the second Samson, which is Christ, he is the only one that can remove the pillars and bring forth judgment on the enemy.
Amen.
Okay? That's what Samson is representing. Okay? Now we get the number Me'at Ve'asrim, and that's 120.
Mm-hmm.
Written in Hebrew, I take the vav out, which is salvation, and Me'at Esrim, 120, without the and, because the and is the vav. Okay, the vav represents the connection, salvation. Once I take the vav out of that, the numerical value of this whole of this word is 666. So even the numerical value of 120 is a prophecy. Once you take salvation out of its equation, it produces the 666, which is the judgment that will come on the world. God has been very detailed in doing this whole thing. You understand? All right.
Pastor, they want to know, someone asked, what happens if a person gets caught off guard and the rapture happens?
There's no such thing as caught off. I think if you read Genesis chapter 25, About the 10 virgins, they'll tell you about being caught off guard, okay? So there's no such thing either. But staying ready for God is a matter of staying in relationship. You shouldn't be caught off guard. You should be, well, caught off guard is really you're living in sin. Or you're living in a lukewarm lifestyle. It means that, you know, you're halfway in the world, you're halfway in Christ. Your friends don't really know you're a Christian. You know, you're just kind of doing your thing. But you're not, they know that, hey, when there's a drinking party, I heard he was a Christian, but he drinks with us, you know. And so that your Christianity doesn't bother anybody because basically you don't really stand out as being a follower of Christ. OK, so you read Matthew chapter 25 and you will find what it means to be caught off guard. Have oil in your lamp. Be ready to go when it's time. And there will be a time. Yes. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. We're on the 119th year of a 120-year prophecy that's going to present worldwide change. Yes. And that is next year. Now, if the rapture happens this year, okay, I'll understand. Now, but the prophecy is said in the 120th year of Noah, it says the flood came. He went and told them, go into the ark, okay? A matter of fact, let's go to that in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, because this is what something I want to show you today. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, and I'm going to write this word up here, generation, okay, of the righteous, okay?
That was Genesis 7.
Verse 1. Okay. Generation of the righteous, okay? This is not a very common term. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you, it's only used twice in the whole scripture. Mm. Once here, and once in Psalms 14, verse 5. So only twice in the whole scripture do you have this term, the generation of the righteous. Why? There's only two generations of the righteous. Okay? There's Noah's time and there's our time. You understand? So there's only 220 counts. So in scripture, God makes sure that this only is presented two times in scripture. Once here at Noah's time and once in Psalms in the middle of the 120 generation. Okay, now, so let's read this. It says, the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have found you righteous before me in this generation. Okay, what generation? This is the end of the 120 count. Your 120 generation, that 120 year count that I told you about, it's over now. Come into the ark because your generation is done. The 120 generation is over with. Then if we go to Psalms, and I love these Bibles that have the names right there, but okay, Psalms 14. If you want to go follow all of the Psalms, someone did a decent job. I think his name is Mark Corral. He did a decent job on following all the prophecies of the Psalms. I say J.R. Church did the best job, but he did a decent job because he missed some points that J.R. Church really fulfills in his book. But here it is, and that's Pastor Mark Corral. I think that's how you say his name. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 14, verse 5, listen what it says. They are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. That's the only time you have the word generation and righteous in the same verse.
Wow.
Okay, so they are in great fear because what? God is with us in the generation of the righteous. What? When the 120-year countdown that ends up with the judgment of the whole world that Jesus says it will be as it was in the days of Noah is right here. And here we are on the 14th year in this scripture. They would have been on the 14th year in the middle of the generation, and not in the middle, but in the 14th year of the generation of the righteous. Okay. And that countdown, and you know what that presents? That presents this guy pronouncing that there is no God, okay? And then when he died, well, of course, when he dies, in 1953, Psalms 53 also says, hey, the fool has said. So God is following the Psalms, and he's prophesied each one, and he's following it for a reason, and there's a reason why he put it in the 19th book. All of this is relevant, okay? Ooh, let's go back to Genesis chapter 5 for a second before we get into Moses. This is such a long Bible study. I don't know why I've got all these notes, Pastor Ben. Be acting like we're going to be here all day. Okay, Genesis chapter 5, what does it tell you? And I'm going to see if I can grab my other book for this.
What verse, Pastor?
We'll be starting at 5 because in verse 1, because as we're reading this, these are the 10 names of the Bible, right? These are the 10 names of the Bible. Adam, the first 10 names of the Bible, right? Adam, Seth, you know, the sixth name of this is Yerad, okay, which is Jared, which we call Jared, right? The son of Donald Trump, his name is Jared. He's Jewish, Yerad.
Right?
His son-in-law is Yerad, okay? And the name in the Hebrew means shall come down or shall descend, okay? So, so the trumpet, or the, well, Pence is the vice president. So the Trump, Pence, is, and the Yerad are among us. You understand? So God is really funny. He's like, watch this, watch this. I'm going to make the president named Trump. Then I'm going to make his son be Yerad, which means shall come down. And I'm going to make the vice president Pence. So it's be Trump, Pence, Yerad, like the trumpet. So, and he's up in heaven. He's just laughing. Oh, they'll never get it. Okay. So we get to this now. Okay. Watch this. Okay. So here's the names. Adam, Seth. Okay, man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God is the fifth name, Mahaloel. Yerad is the sixth name, shall come down. You see that? So the sixth name is shall come down.
Sixth name.
And what's the vav that's taken out of 120? The sixth letter. Understand? Now, what is now the numerical value for Yerad in Greek is 214, which means the spirit of God, the Ruach, and it means a traveling company. It means caravan, meaning a traveling company, right? It means white is 214, the righteous, and many shall be multiplied, and a dinner at a hut. That's what Yerad means, okay? That's what 214 means in the Hebrew for the word Yerad, which is 214, which means shall come down. So all those things are going to happen when he comes down. The Spirit of God is going to be brought up to Christ in a caravan of many people. They will be wearing white, they will be righteous, and there will be many, and we will have a dinner. That's what it's telling you, okay? So that's Yerad. Okay, I'm going to put this together for you guys and send it to you. Okay, now, that's what it is. But I said, well, let's go to Luke chapter 3 real fast. Let's go to Luke chapter 3. It's so good to have a Hebrew class, because you know what? You don't have to play around and teach elementary stuff. You can really get deep into the scriptures because you know the people are there because they love the Bible, right? Yes. And they love the Hebrew, and they really want to know what's going on.
Amen.
So now here we go. We're in chapter 3 of Luke, and we're in verse 37. And listen what it says. It says, and this, may make sure I'm in 37 first. I'm in Luke chapter 2. I'm like, 2, I want to be in chapter 3. Okay, chapter 3. And now I'm going to go to 37. And listen what it says. Oh, it's giving you the names of all the people again. Look at that. Okay, now we get to verse 37, and it says, oh, here it is. It says, and the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, and the son of Yerad, the son of Mahaloel, right? So I said, wow, Yerad is also in the New Testament. Let me see what the numerical value for Yerad in Greek is. Mm. What do you think it is? 120.
No.
Yes. So the numerical value for shall come down in the Greek is 120. Okay. So listen. So in 2:14. The name Yerad means in Hebrew, the name means shall come down. But the numerical value is the first Psalms, which means shall ascend. So someone's coming down and someone's ascending at the same time. Wow. So God made Yerad to be a connection, okay, of someone coming down. And Psalms 120 is someone ascending, and there you have it. Okay.
Wow.
I'm telling you, there's so much detail in all of this. Now I'm getting hungry, Pastor. I should have ate that sandwich. Okay. So now, let me see what that is all about. Okay, we got 15 minutes. So let's talk about Moses. Let's go to Exodus chapter. Ooh. That don't look right, but let's see if it is. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2. Yeah, Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to try and get my other Bible now. I've got all of these English Bibles. Some are, this is the Nelson Study English Bible, and this is the Application Bible, and then this one right here is the American Standard. Then I got a King James in there. Well, anyway, whichever one matches the Hebrew the best, that's the one I'm going to read to you, okay? And so now we're in Exodus, and are we in chapter 2?
Verse 1.
Okay. Chapter 2. But let's go to verse 11.
Verse 11.
Yeah, chapter 2, verse 11. Because this is very interesting. Now watch this. Where's my... Let me at least get some water here. So, you guys, you having fun yet?
I think they're having fun.
Because I love Hebrew. Okay, here we go. It says, one day after Moses had gone up, he went out to where his own people were, okay? And so now Moses is visiting with his own people and watched them. And their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. And he asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? The man said, who made you a ruler over us? Are you thinking about killing me as you killed the Egyptian? So the first thing I want you to know is that Moses is among his own people, and they're rejecting him. Like, you don't tell me what to do.
Right.
Who made you ruler over us? Are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian? So now Moses says, okay, I can't hang out with these people anymore because this means trouble. And it says, then Moses was afraid and thought what I did must have become known. And when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, a priest of Midian had seven daughters. Moses, seven.
Yeah.
Jesus, seven churches, right?
Noah.
And Noah, seven others on the boat. You understand? So we're talking about this marriage that's about to take place. And then, of course, as we read that he has seven daughters, they give one of the daughters to Moses in marriage. Now, she's a Midianite, which means that she is an Arab. She is not Jewish. So you got a Jewish guy marrying a Gentile bride with seven sisters, right? And it's seven sisters. So there you have this marriage of a Jew and a Gentile bride for the first time.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joseph. Is it? There's no book of Joseph. Why did I write Joseph? I think we're in.
Joshua, perhaps?
Let's. Boy, I'm telling you, when I'm writing notes, I am losing my brain. It can't be. Okay. So.
Jeremiah.
It has to be Genesis, right? Or is it? No, because it would be after the Exodus. So we might have to look in Exodus chapter 44. Let me see if it's Exodus chapter 44. Let's see. You guys help me out if you're out there. You know what a Joseph story is.
But there's no chapter 44.
Right. So that takes care of that. And so let's see. Genesis chapter 44. Yep, that's this. Here's Joseph. Now watch Joseph. Joseph and so I was supposed to write Genesis chapter 41, and I wrote Joseph chapter 41.
Oh.
58, y'all. You know I just had a birthday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where are we at?
Okay, we're in Genesis chapter 44. So there's Moses. We're in Genesis chapter 41. I'm very sorry. We're in Genesis chapter 41, and we're going to be at verse 44, okay? And here we are, and now this is, it says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. But without your word, no one will lift a hand or a foot in all of Egypt. Joseph has just been named second in command over the whole kingdom. Okay? Now, in heaven, the Father and the Son. Okay, now, can you have, why, if you're going to have the second in command, you might as well give him a bride, right? So this is what Pharaoh says, okay? So it says, he says, I am Pharaoh, and without your word, no one will lift a hand in Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph Zephaniah Paneah, and gave him that name, which means kind of like mystery, ruler of mysterious things. And it says, and he gave him Asenath, daughter of Petipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. So he gives Asenath to Joseph, this Jewish guy, as a bride, and she's a Gentile. Guess what else is happening at this time? Okay? They're having this event, because he prophesied there's going to be 7 years of famine, and there's going to be seven years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. Okay? While the famines, the plenty, he did all the things that he could for his bride. And he has his bride. And everything's going good. Matter of fact, when he has his bride, he has two sons. Okay? He has Manasseh and he has Ephraim. I want you to remember Ephraim, okay? Because Ephraim is very important. So he has Manasseh and he has Ephraim and he has this Gentile bride, right? Ephraim and Manasseh get joined into the Jewish tribes as official tribes.
Yep.
Do you know that? Even though they're not fully all Jewish, but because of this mixed marriage, they get placed into the tribes, okay? So they get added in, even though their mother is not completely Jewish. And to be Jewish, your mother has to be Jewish. They don't care about your dad. Your mom has to be Jewish for you to be Jewish. But let's get rid of that rule, because now we're taking this Gentile children and we're adding them into the 12, and now they become a full part of the 12, okay?
Sense.
Now Joseph is a Jew with a Gentile bride, and his children get added into the Jewish family, okay, and into the tribes. Now, okay, Boaz was Jewish, right?
Right.
And he married, who did Boaz marry? We're moving too fast. Okay, so anyway, Boaz marries this Gentile bride, Ruth. He marries Ruth. Yeah, we just forgot that. So Boaz marries Ruth, and now we have another Jewish kinsman redeemer, a title that only Jesus has, as being a kinsman redeemer. And then now this kinsman redeemer marries a Jewish bride, a Gentile bride. And now we have the third example of a Jew marrying a Gentile, okay? So the thing of the marriage and a Jew marrying a Gentile is not foreign to Scripture, okay? And we understand that when the famine happened, Joseph and his bride lived in the palace. So we know that the bride is not going to go through the famine, okay?
Right, right.
So there's so many things. See, we've been educated now. So a lot of things they used to argue about, we just go, whatever. We already know that doesn't work because of the typologies, right?
Right.
So I want you to understand Ephraim, though, okay? And how much time we got, Pastor Ben?
6 minutes.
Okay. In 6 minutes, I want to explain to you Ephraim, okay? So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 37. It's so beautiful when you have people who love the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to be in verse 16, okay? Now, who was born first, Manasseh or Ephraim? Ephraim was born second. Ephraim is the second child. Manasseh is the first child. Who's going to be greater?
First.
No.
Oh, okay.
The scripture says the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. So look, you got first Adam and you got the second Adam. Who's the greatest? Jesus,
the
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who is the two brothers that got separated at birth?
Oh.
One was born first and then the other one was born second, right? Esau and Jacob. Who became greater? Jacob. Okay. So always the second child is going to be greater. So let's look at what happened with Manasseh. This is very important. Okay. So now you're in chapter 37 of Ezekiel?
Yes.
Okay. And are you at verse 16? Okay. So at verse 16, look at what happens to Ephraim. It says, the son of man, take a stick, okay, and write on it, belonging to Judah and Israel associated with him. Then take another stick of wood and write on it Ephraim's stick, belonging to Joseph, and all the house of Israel associated with him. Join them together as one stick so that they will become one in your hand. Now, you have a future time is coming where he's going to take Ephraim's stick and he's going to take Judah's stick and he's going to join them back together as one. When did they split up? Ephraim sinned.
Yes.
Okay. In Isaiah 7:8. Let's go there. I want to teach you guys this because this is a beautiful thing to know about scripture.
Isaiah 7:8.
Isaiah chapter 7 verse 8. Watch this. Come on. You don't got that much time. Let's move it. Talking to myself. Okay. Chapter 7, verse 8. In chapter 7, verse 8, it says this. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Razan. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Ramallah. So Ephraim is going to get broken and will no longer be a people. So Ephraim is supposed to be great. How can they be broken and no longer be a people? That means that, so Ephraim got pushed out into the Gentile world, okay? But God says, at the end, he's going to go back and get Ephraim and bring that stick and join that stick back together with Judah. And so Ephraim no longer exists as a Hebrew tribe. If you want to talk about the lost tribe, it's Ephraim, because nobody knows where they are. Okay, Ephraim was pushed out into the Gentile world. Okay, but at the end, they're going to be joined back into Israel. Now, so Jesus does this one thing to prophesy that, to let you know. And that's in John chapter 11. And this is our last verse. You're in John chapter 11. Watch this. John chapter 11, verse 54. And it says here, so it says, therefore Jesus no longer moved publicly amongst the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert in the valley called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. So he says he's no longer going to dwell among the Jews. I'm going to go to Ephraim. Why? Because Ephraim is representing the Gentile nations. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. So the bride that the first Adam receives is representing a Eve represents a Gentile bride. Yeah. You understand? Because the structure is that all the brides, all the weddings are weddings between a Jew and a Gentile. Here's Jesus leaving the Jews and saying, I'm going to Ephraim because they've been pushed out into the Gentile world. Okay, so structure in the scripture is this. World change always happens in 120 is the judgment. Only two of them in the Bible, one during the time of Noah and one during the time that we are currently living in, and it's called the generation of the righteous, is 120, both times. Come into the ark. I have found you righteous in this generation. Only one other time you're going to see that, and that's in Psalms, righteous generation. Okay? So the 120 presents the judgment that is going to come about through the whole world. And it's just incredible. I mean, God's word blows my mind. I had all these notes here at home, and I started driving here and left them. And I said, I got to go back. Okay. So you're in 119 years of that count. 120th year of that count is next year. Rather we get on the boat this year and the flood begins, or rather we get on the boat next year and the flood begins, you know you're in the generation of the righteous. Okay, praise God. Let's finish up with prayer.
Man, good lesson.
Let's finish up with prayer.
211 online right now.
I love that. Thank you, you 211 people that have joined me today. And hopefully, everybody will go back and watch this, because we need to know where we're at, okay? People sending me stuff about stars and moons, and there's a 120-degree sun. I'm like, I can't get into it. I watch it, but I can't get into it, because God doesn't talk to me in that way.
Right.
He talks to me through his word, okay? But it's interesting, but I can't get too involved in it, because I'll get off from what God wants me to do. Amen. Okay, here we are. Let's pray out. Yivarekeka, I was going to change the prayer, but I cannot do that because God says, this is how you bless my people. Yivarekeka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panavilecha v'echuneka. Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim l'kai shalom. And when you see my people, say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the Bible study because I sure did. And we'll talk next week. And stay ready because when he comes, it's time to go.
Amen. Praise God. Paul said he's going to watch it like 100 times.
Ooh, praise God.